Welcome to another UCTV.tv podcast presented by University of California Television.
For now, we'd like to shift gears a little bit and talk about yet another controversy and challenge in the treatment of thoracic aortic disease. Dr. Vartanian, who is our senior fellow and hopefully soon to leave that position for his first position as an official job with people that he hopes are probably not too pathological, us. At any rate, Dr. Vartanian will talk to us about what determines aortic false lumen growth post-dissection. Dr. Vartanian.
Great. Thank you, Dr. Alley. Okay, so just to very briefly introduce the topic, aortic dissections, as I'm sure everybody in the room is familiar with, is the most common aortic emergency, approximately 2 events per every 100,000 person years in the United States. And, you know, we know all the usual risk factors, hypertension, the atherosclerotic risk factors, smoking, hyperlipidemia, and connective tissue disorders make up the majority of the patients that we see. And we tend to classify these patients both in terms of the extent of the dissection, whether it involves the ascending or descending aorta, and also temporally, where symptoms within 2 weeks are typically classified as acute and those after 2 weeks as chronic. And this is important how we not only interpret the literature, but also some of the clinical symptoms that we see. Obviously, in acute presentations, you worry not only about branch-vessel obstruction and malperfusion syndromes, but also rupture. And in the chronic phase, slightly different problems, aneurysmal formation over time, and, of course, rupture. This now famous graph came from IRAD, the International Registry of Aortic Dissections. This graph, I think, was published in JAMA in 1999. Back then, the only limited number of centers. IRAD today is a multinational registry of, I think, 22 centers around the world, although none west of the Mississippi. And the take-home message was this lowest curve here where mortality in the early phase, this is days following presentation, mortality early in the presentation was lower in patients that were successfully managed medically as opposed to those that needed surgical intervention. Now, anti-impulse therapy was not a new proposition. It had been described in small series all the way back into the 1960s. Likely even back then, I think most people were choosing to practice that way. What it means today is a goal SBP of less than 120, a heart rate less than 60. Most people are managed on beta blockers as first light agents as it decreases both the aortic wall shear stress and contractility. Based on IRAD data, 90% of patients with type B dissections can be managed with medical therapy alone. However, the long-term results of medically managed patients in chronic dissection are not sterling. The mortality can be as high as 50% over 5 years, specifically from IRAD. This was a follow-up data and long-term data looking at 3 years out from patients that survived their initial presentation and were discharged. Minus all that mortality we saw in an inpatient setting, so all patients here started one. And regardless of how they were treated medically, surgically, or endovascularly, the mortality at 3 years was about 25% in all three groups. Obviously, some of that is due to their underlying comorbid conditions, but also a large percentage of that is related to late aortic events. And other series have shown that up to about 20% of patients with chronic aortic dissection will develop aneurysms within about 2 years. So the take-home message here is even if you can usher them through their inpatient setting through their acute presentation, you're left with a vulnerable aorta, one that is prone to developing late complications over a number of years. Is there anything we can do to help risk stratify these patients, identify those that would be most susceptible to developing late complications related to the aorta? And this is kind of a representative series of CT scans. The panels here on the left are on presentation aortic dissection, and in long term, the aorta is healed. This is over a number of years. In this case, the aortic dissection has remained chronic, largely unchanged, no complications to the patient. And this unfortunate patient went on to develop an aneurysm that required intervention. So, can we identify patient related factors, either on presentation or on imaging, that can help us determine who is at most risk for late complication, and is there anything we can do about it? Well, let's start with what we just saw here on that CT scan. What about flow within the false lumen? It's not a stretch to think that when you have continued perfusion within that weakened segment of aorta, certainly weaker than the native undissected aorta, that you will develop aneurysmal degeneration and potentially rupture. The question is, does a patent false lumen affect the long-term outcome in type B dissections? And does false lumen thrombosis have a better long-term prognosis? This has ended up being a very important question because if you look at a lot of the new TVAR studies today addressing treatment of chronic aortic dissection, this has become the surrogate outcome for late events. And so people are making the link, authors are making the link between persistent flow in the false lumen and the presence of or the need for an ultimate intervention. And where did this link come from? And it really has come back to two single institution series out of Japan that we'll look at very quickly. The first spanned approximately 20 years, and this was a retrospective review of patients, 110 patients that they ended up treating with medical management for chronic type B dissection. And to their credit, they really tried to look at very detailed long-term follow-up, 10-year follow-up. And amazingly, they only lost 11 patients to 10 years. That's lost to follow-up. Obviously, they had a large number of censored events due to mortality and whatnot. And they used a composite endpoint of all-cause mortality, dissection-related morbidity, and mortality. And what did they find? Well, this was kind of the gist of their findings. This is, and it probably doesn't project well, but this is dissection-related mortality. These are Kaplan-Meier curves. And the lower curve are the patients with a patent false lumen on imaging, and the top curve there is the thrombose group, obviously statistically significant. And you can see the years out are up to 10 years here on the left, although not presented here are the numbers that you need to treat were actually somewhat small down there. The authors do make a point that overall mortality was not different within these two groups. So dissection-related mortality, in their eyes, what they can claim to be death related to an aortic rupture or an aneurysm, patients did far better if it was thrombosis as opposed to patent. When they did a multivariate model, the only thing that fell out, they weren't able to identify any univariate variables that predicted development of false lumen thrombosis. But just the presence of having a patent false lumen resulted in a hazard ratio of 7.6 for developing dissection-related late events in their patients. And these results were mirrored by another group in Japan. Almost identically, actually. Their cohort was somewhat smaller, only 76 patients. Of course, they limited themselves to only 10 years of data. And they followed them up for 53 months on average. And again, only two patients were lost to follow-up, not counting censored events. And, you know, again, the pattern of the curves here are similar. These were also Kaplan-Meier curves for event-free rate. What they defined as an event was aortic dilation to greater than 6 centimeters and death. And again, the numbers needed, I'm sorry, the patients at risk obviously falls off at the very end of the curve here, but again, very similar results between these two groups. And, you know, this held up on their multivariate analysis. And again, similar odds ratio, 7.5. So we know having a patent false lumen portends a poor prognosis in the long term. But is there any way we can predict which patients on presentation will subsequently go on to develop late aortic-related events down the road? This group out of South Korea tried to address that problem or that question. They looked at their experience of 100 patients with acute aortic dissection. This was kind of a mixed bag. They had patients with both type A and type B dissections, but these were all patients that ended up not suffering complications during their inpatient hospitalization, were discharged, and then just ended up having a chronic descending thoracic aortic dissection. Six of their 100 patients did have Marfans. And also in this group, they were able to follow them up for 53 months, and they did note complete healing in six patients. 6% complete healing was their natural history data. And much like the data that came out of IRAD, if you look at these people as a whole, approximately 15% will develop aneurysms. That's the incidence. And the incidence kind of falls off based on which part of the aorta you look at. They kind of divided it up by upper, mid, lower, and abdominal aorta. And obviously, since they did have type A aortic dissections, they include the arch here. But when you look at the descending thoracic aorta, there really is no difference between the type A and the type Bs. Looking at risk factors on presentation that would portend poor prognosis in the long term, there are only two factors that they were able to identify. The first, somewhat obvious, is Marfan's. Five out of their six patients end up developing aneurysms. So if the patient presents with a dissection with Marfan's, there is a good likelihood that they will ultimately develop an aortic aneurysm. And looking at a variety of CT scan measurements, really the only thing that panned out was false lumen diameter, not the actual complete aortic diameter, which ended up not being significant on multivariate modeling, but just the false lumen diameter of the upper thoracic aorta, not the mid or the abdominal aorta. And what they ended up doing was setting a cut line at 22 millimeters. And if the patient had a false lumen diameter of greater than 22 millimeters, it predicted late aneurysm formation with a sensitivity of 100%. This is obviously based on their data set. I'm not sure how much of this is going to be applicable to other data sets, and I have not yet seen anybody else try to recreate this data despite this being published almost 5 years ago. And then again, using that cut line of 22 millimeters and then using event-free survival here, and the events were, again, a composite endpoint of not only aneurysm development, but rapid growth of greater than 5 millimeters over 6 months. You can see here that these KM curves, there is a big difference in the two groups. So is there anything we can do knowing now that having a patent of false lumen having a large false lumen in the upper thoracic aorta portends a poor prognosis for the development of late aortic events? Well, yes, it turns out heart rate control is actually just as important as blood pressure control. This study came out of also out of Japan, and this was a little different. This was a prospective cohort study, and they had looked at their 171 patients with type B dissection. And again, they excluded patients that had complications, so this was just a group of patients that were discharged and had a chronic aortic dissection, and they excluded Marfan's patients. And they looked at patients that had just optimal medical therapy, which ended up being about three-quarters of these patients, which was SBP less than 120, or optimal medical therapy with tight heart rate control, having a heart rate of less than 60 beats per minute. Part of their prospective cohort study was that they'd all have one-year surveillance CT scans. They followed them up for an average of over 2 years. And again, they used the composite endpoint of any aortic event, aneurysm, rupture, need for surgery. The tight heart rate group outperformed the conventional medical therapy group in just about every one of these individual subgroups for that composite endpoint. And when you lump them together and you plot it out by KM curves, you can see here that there is actually a rather significant difference in how the two groups perform. So tight heart rate control in addition to good blood pressure control can help prevent late aortic pathologies from a chronic type B dissection. So in summary, the medically managed chronic type B aortic dissection has a significant long-term morbidity and mortality, 25% mortality at 3 years, 20% will develop aneurysms within 2 years. Risk factors for developing those aneurysms: persistent flow through the false lumen, upper thoracic aortic false lumen diameter of greater than 22 millimeters. Interesting to see if this will actually pan out in other studies. Obviously, Marfan syndrome, and having a heart rate of greater than 60 beats per minute is also a risk factor. Thank you.
You've been listening to a podcast by University of California Television. For more information about this program or UCTV, visit us online at uctv.tv.